the value of certain currencies has been fluctuating in some cases wildly. The dollar way overvalued right now. Why? Because of repatriation of dollars. Why? Because of some people say flight to quality, which is the biggest joke I've ever heard. But the fact is that people wanting delivery of, let's say, a whole big shipload of wheat from let's say the Russian steppes, and they want to bring it into to India for food. All of a sudden, if you know anything about FOB, it's called freight on board. There has to be a guarantee to that freighting company and to the seller that they're going to receive payment. Well, now, the transactions are not going through. Why? Because nobody is trusting the creditworthiness of the of either the underwriter or the receiver on that FOB contract. So what's happening right now in real time, and this is going into the real economy, Mohammed, people are not accepting that transfer of responsibility for the freight. So the freight's not moving. And we're talking about things as diverse as food, clothes, sneakers, anything you can think of, car parts. We've got a seizing up of the world economy starting to take place, and this is happening in real time. And, of course, when you add into that just-in-time manufacturing, where very few manufacturers have any reserved material on their stock because they have been sold this Drucker idea of doing everything the last second, we have a world that is looking at mass layoffs because nobody is trusting anybody. Things aren't getting delivered. Nobody's got product to build their stuff, and there are no customers. Where are we going, Mohammed? And can you elaborate on what I just said?
Well, of course, what you said is very important there, Darrell, in terms of the financial product. There is certainly, with the letter of credit and other types of shipping bills, etc., which are used to fund the transfer of product. Let's say we were buying, something I've seen personally recently, was buying furniture from China. You know, the company in China will start manufacturing, not based on a purchase order, because that's not a financial commitment or a demonstration of the ability to pay, but they will do so when we open a letter of credit in their favor. But of course now, because somebody may have opened a letter of credit through Lehman Brothers, that means that once the terms could be that once the furniture arrives in the UK and it's been vetted, that Lehman Brothers will release the money. But of course, from build time to the point where the stuff has arrived in the UK in the container, 3.5-4 months. Well, if you're building your manufacturing process on the back of being paid in 3.5-4 months, when institutions are disappearing in that time frame, it can make you very nervous. Chinese companies now who are manufacturing on the back of Lehman Brothers or a Bear Stearns letter of credit, they're worried about Barclays. They're worried about Halifax Bank of Scotland, because some of these are for very large levels. And the other thing which is going on is on the foodstuffs.
Yep.
Foodstuffs, actually, Darrell, I have two views on this. One is there is concern about credit quality, but another is that people are concerned about, food for their own countries. So in Thailand, concern over the quality of the instrument, the letter of credit or whatever is being used, the bank finance mechanism, is being used as an excuse not to export rice on the basis that they feel that they'll need it for domestic population. So governments are allowing people to break out of contractual obligations. There's a legal concept known as being frustrated. I think we discussed this the other day, didn't we?
Yeah.
But if something in your contract suddenly prevents it from being enforceable beyond a force majeure, if you like, for reasons beyond your control, so the bank that we've agreed to do the payment through disappears, the contract is legally frustrated. It means you can't enforce it in a court of law anymore, because the judge is just going to turn around and say, well, the bank disappeared, you know, you had to renegotiate, that contract is worthless. Once somebody's in that position, they're freed from all the other obligations. So even if I had an obligation to deliver rice to some company in the UK for the next 5 years, if Lehman Brothers or Bear Stearns or one of these other banks that's disappeared or even been nationalised, because I could claim, you know, my concerns about Barclays or Royal Bank of Scotland, my concerns about being paid were so great that this bank was not the same bank it was when I entered into the contract. So I free myself from this contractual obligation, and if you want to dispute that, there's the address of my lawyer. And this is basically the approach. It's given people a window of opportunity to break out of contractual obligations that they wouldn't have liked. And this means that they can keep the foodstuffs domestically. And this is happening on a very large scale now.
And there's also an instrument that would have been written during the contract process that would have allowed a hedge against non-compliance or non-delivery. And so the fact is that's usually done as a financial instrument as well. And those same contracts are going through similar organizations or maybe the same organization that have gone bankrupt. So we can't even use those. And you might even find some of those being traded in some of the hedge funds. So what we have here is we have a shithouse mess, and I can't, I'm sorry for the swear word, but I got to tell you something, it is that bad, Mohammed. Excuse my language, but that's exactly what it is. It's that bad, my friend.
Well, it is, because, of course, when we look at what's going to happen, maybe the distributor for Thai rice in London has got a warehouse that's full at the moment, but his normal flow of deliveries has been switched off, and slowly but surely he's going to start depleting those reserves in his warehouse. Eventually we're going to get to the last bag of Thailand rice that's in there, and then there's not going to be any Thailand rice in the UK. It's that straightforward, because these guys have done, it's not just one company, they're doing it en masse, and they're doing it with lots of different types of foodstuffs and in many jurisdictions, because these countries, they're aware that they're going to need the stuff themselves.
Well, now let's move to the next one, where a lot of the false valuation of currencies used to make transactions around the world have been tied. And that's the gold market and the silver market, any bullion out there. And what we've been looking at is a paper mess with this that is actually starting to expose itself as being a fraudulent set of values. That is to say, what we've got is ETFs right now, exchange-traded funds on gold, that are pricing gold at a level that no one can deliver on, no one. And in fact, no one is even willing to deliver on. And any place with holding on to bullion right now is being straightforward about the fact that says, look, we will sell you the bullion, but we won't sell it to you at the COMEX fixed ETF price. We'll sell it to you at 20%, 15%, whatever, higher. You gave me a figure today. What are the contracts that was being honored for actual physical delivery was, what, 13 or 14% higher than the spot? You want to explain what's going on with that?
Well, I mean, this is an interesting corruption of the concept of spot. Spot, as a term, means something we do on the spot, Darrell. So, you know, I've got a lump of gold, you've got a lump of cash, how much are we going to exchange these two items for?
That's right.
We agree a price. That's the spot price. Now, COMEX and NYMEX have been entrusted with producing, that's the New York Metal Exchange, with producing a set of numbers that the world can rely on as a spot price, not just the futures price, not an implied spot price from futures, but actually a real-world spot price.
That you can go and convert if you wished.
On the gold markets of the world, you're supposed to be able to go and the people contributing to this, and this spot price can be seen, by the way, on Kitco at kitco.com, KITCO.com. If you go and look at the charts on there, Darrell, there's live gold. And that live gold is supposed to represent the current spot price offered by bullion dealers throughout the world. Of course, what's happening is that this spot price is being manipulated through derivatives on the spot price, to the extent that if you're a poor gold producer, you've got your own mine or you're a refinery or whatever, you're in the gold business, as Cape Co are, and you've bought some raw product and turned it into a nice kilo bar to sell to some potential happy owner who is going to feel safer with that rather than dollars, whatever, or pounds. You're going to get the price in the international spot price, so you are influenced to a degree as somebody in that business by somebody coming into your shop and saying, okay, I'm saying to you, Darryl, I want your kilo of gold, let's agree a price. Rather than you and I agreeing a price between us, we get a fair price by looking at the current Kitco spot price. All right, now, it's currently $680 an ounce, which it was last week.
Yeah.
I get my calculator out and go, so many ounces in a kilo, etc., etc., etc. The price for this bar should be this. Now, you're in the gold business, and you're saying, well, Mohammed, you know, as much as I understand that's the spot price officially on the wall, which these financial markets are throwing at us, that's not what all my friends in this industry are telling me. They're telling me that there's a queue of people at the door, that we can't get enough product anywhere near to supply the number of people buying from us. We're dried out. We come back in four or five weeks. I've got one bar. That's when you say, I've got one bar. I can let you have this bar at the real spot price. And I say to you, Darryl, but that is the real spot price. And that's where you have to tell me, I'm sorry, Mohammed, that used to be the real spot price. But I can't afford to trade at that because I know the supply and demand in the world is of such a nature right now, nobody in the business is selling it for less than $900 an ounce. And in fact, Darryl, there was a Canadian maple 1 ounce coin, 0.999% purity, placed on eBay last week for sale, with a reserve of $900, so that was $900 an ounce for real gold. It had 28 bids in absolutely no time whatsoever, because you just can't get hold of the stuff, and there was $17 postage on the top of it. I mean, they're having to say to people at Kitco, well, I'll sell you the kilo. I've got 1 kilo. I'll let you have it. But it's this price, $680. I'm not letting it go at less than $900. So I'm going to have to give it you at spot plus 13%. So we've now got a new spot, which is spot plus a percentage. Because the guys in the industry can't use their own spot price, Darryl, because it's so heavily manipulated. It's never been heard of in my life that spot price could be so manipulated.
Well, it's as you said right in the outset of this discussion about this gold, is that it is in itself a bastardization of the definition itself.
Yes, it's no longer the spot price doesn't mean spot anymore.
That's right.
They completely hijacked the concept of spot. Those numbers are supposed to be driven by the transactions which are happening at the front door of the gold guys. And that should be trading at $900 an ounce plus minimum right now.
Well, where are we going, Mohammed? Let's talk about the real world now. I see across my television over here in France. Yes, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I still watch the news. I try to get the news over here to find out what they're saying. And the fact is, what they're saying on the French news is that factories across France are beginning to close. And the largest of the factories are closing from now until January. Some of them. Some are just announced 3-week shutdowns. General Motors is down for 3 weeks over here. And my point is, the numbers that they're starting to banter around here are in the tens of thousands of layoffs. And for a country the size of France, tens of thousands already being announced, and many, many more on the way. I see we are on a vicious cycle, and it's a spiraling down. It's a maelstrom, if you'll allow, to the bottom. And I don't see anything in the way on the way down, save these temporary respites. Like the American market was up 10% today, which is a laugh. I almost choked on my own swallow here because I couldn't believe 10% was what the Nasdaq was up today in the S&P. These little blips up are going to happen. I don't know how they did, but they did. We're heading to the bottom here, in my view. And Look, we're all in uncharted waters here, Mohammed, and I, you know, you and I both can't say with a crystal ball what's going to happen, but I can tell you pretty clearly that all things being equal, we are in the worst financial mess in the history of humanity. Why? Because in the past, these problems were regionalized, and if they contaminated another, it would not be to the detriment of the entire world. Today, what we're looking at is the entire world is heading for a crash. And I can't see a market escaping. The Chinese are going to get whacked because their exports rely on America's economy being healthy and so forth. There's no place on earth that's going to be unscathed. What do you see coming here? I mean, how bad is this in your view?
Well, firstly, just picking up that point about the rally, as it's been laughingly called in the equities markets today. There's been a rally, Darrell. Now, you'll have to forgive me, but you know, if we look at the levels that we're discussing here, we had an S&P 500 that 3 or 4 weeks ago was trading somewhere around 1,200 plus. And just before Bush actually did his $700 billion announcement, I mean, it's that recently, you know, this fight that went on just a few weeks ago, ladies and gentlemen, it's not that long ago, S&P was at plus 1,200. So if that drops 10%, that's going to go down 120 points, Darrell.
Yep.
As at yesterday, it was below 800.
Yep.
So when they say it's gone up 10%, it's not gone up 120 points. It's only gone up 80.
That's right.
In practical terms, if the thing that people have to remember is that it's only in relation to yesterday's close how much it's gone up and down. When we're looking at the real picture now and them capturing headlines, a recovery of 80 points, 880, from 1,200 is nothing. It's actually gone up only 6% of the original sum that it dropped from 3.5 weeks ago, not 10%. So it's come back 6% if we take a fixed point in the ground, not 10%. And it's still down on that figure 34%, because it's off 40% of the original amount, for 38%, whatever. It's still down 32%, whatever the precise numbers are. But you can't call down 32% in 3 weeks a rally. Not with the best will in the world, I'm afraid, Darrell. So we have another situation of headline grabbing and a hope that people have the retentive capability of a goldfish.
Yeah.
Because, you know, look at the numbers out there. You can't. This is, again, an abuse of the word rally in the way we've got abuse of the word spot. A rally is would have been that, you know, we've been trading 1,000 to 1,300 over a 200 range over 12 months or 6 months or something, and then we suddenly found ourselves at a heady 1,450. That would have been a rally above some kind of average over the year. But we have abuse of terminology, and as you say, Dal, for people who've been watching this professionally, which I consider the listeners to the French Connection now very much on a level of professionals,
yep,
because they have such a good understanding. We should all be reaching for the sick bag when we hear, you know, not just you and I vomiting this one at now, but we should all be reaching for the sick bag and saying, good grief, come on, you know, can we stop this manipulation and get some kind of grasp on reality? This intervention, coming to your main point now, Darrell, this intervention in the derivative Disneyland world of finance with the real economy has now started,
yeah,
to show signs of destruction of the real economy.
That's right. That was the next point I wanted to make, and that's the point I tried to allude to with these plant closings. This is where the rubber meets the road, Mohammed, where people actually go and pick up a wrench and twist a bolt and make things. This is where it's all ending up. And what we're going to see is, and of course, what they said on TV, and interesting, they were somewhat honest, that the companies that supply General Motors and Renault and Peugeot and some of these other businesses are all laying off. And so all of the periphery companies that were doing their just-in-time manufacturing deliveries to these manufacturers to put the cars together and all this, they're just not going to have work, and so they're sending people home. What we're beginning to see here is a vicious cycle spiraling down to the ground, and I see it picking up speed over time, not slowing. As you know, the real economy begins to deteriorate, you're going to see cafes in the villages where these factories are closed, and then that person won't be able to buy the groceries they used to, so you're going to see grocery stores close, and it's going to be, one after another. This is a domino effect that will not be stoppable, and then I see ultimately a financial ruin for the entire, I don't know, it's that bad. I don't see us going anywhere but into one of the worst periods of human history, and I don't know what to do about it except to try to tell people how to understand it and what to, you know, what to say. And I keep trying to point to the people who are orchestrating, and you can see the orchestration. You can see it. I got to say, you know, it comes back to the bad guys, Muhammad, every time.
Well, they've now had their loans to get them out of the swamp, the creek, to help to give them paddles to come back down that creek.
Yeah, they were given bailouts and money, and they're sitting on top of piles, and this, you know, I mean, where is this going to end? Is it going to end when Rothschild owns GM, lock, stock, and barrel, and he buys General Motors and General Electric, and he, instead of just being a Veolia holder and these other, he's going to own everything?
The plan, if for want of a better phrase, that's some people have discussed that this is being orchestrated too. We won't mention its name, but some people claim this is a plan, and that right at the end of the plan, they said, we will destroy the economies of the world and make people dependent on us and our control of the gold. Well, ironically, the gold started running away from them, and they're trying their best to manipulate that. So that part of their plan has failed and is still failing them. The other thing is that the financial system collapsed, and they were supposed to use the financial system to destroy the economic system. What they are doing, which is completely cynical, and we have been raising this point on the French Connection, intervention in the Disneyland economy with the real economy, the use of real economy, real production, will result in the destruction of the real economy. And these cynics know this because they've done that before. So having bailed themselves out, they are now encouraging Brown and these other short-sighted gimps, Bernanke, Paulson, whoever, to intervene in the real fraudulent and Disneyland economy with the real economy, which is hastening. And every intervention speeds up, it accelerates the destruction of the real economy. Make no doubt about it, Darrell, they are destroying the real economy because they understand that this is what it means. Even if Brown and Bernanke and Paulson are that stupid that they don't, and I believe Paulson, probably out of the three, is the only one who understands this, certainly Greenspan does. Greenspan is watching them intervene in his Disneyland with the real economy, and he's not warning the world. Nobody's warning the world. Pressing this button here will result in self-destruction. This is the ejector seat. This is the game over button, and they are pressing it.
Yep. And I see terrible events in every nation of the world. And, you know, I'm trying to get people to sign on to the idea that we have to turn our ire and our anger at the people who've done this. And again, ladies and gentlemen, to turn it on the Jewish community would be wrong because, again, 80% of them, in my view, are going along with this because they believe the lies they've been told. But the 20% of the people who have actually done the work at the bio labs to build up bird flu and sicken on us all and done the Monsanto genetic bioengineering of our food, and these people need to be outed, need to be identified, tracked, found, and dealt with when we get the opportunity, and that opportunity should be taken at its first convenience. And that means we've got to start talking about names and places and people in order for people to start attaching suspicion and then guilt where it belongs, Muhammad. Because if these people slip away like the carpetbaggers did after the Civil War, and you don't know who robbed your house. You don't know who's got all your stuff. Well, we need to make sure we know who, and we go after them.
Well, we know who they are, and we know what they're doing. We've exposed it continually since time. And as for complicity, we are seeing the complicity of government, even if through ignorance. I hope that everybody out there listening is fully aware that Brown and Bernanke are not capable of producing solutions to this problem.
Yep.
We have real solutions available through the French Connection.
Yep.
We have put forward ideas that will kickstart the economy and will pull it out of this spiral. It is possible for this situation to be redeemed. It is possible for everybody on the planet to have a good standard of living, to live without poverty, without fear of having to drink unclean water and not having access to sanitation. It is possible if we really want it. And we've got to overcome these fears now. And I think you're right, Dal. It's time to start getting angry. People have to start getting angry with this stuff. And we've got to confront these people. Hey, we have a duty as individuals now to get angry and bring it on board, writing to MPs. I'm aware some of the listeners out there are writing to politicians and doing good work, but it shouldn't be some now. It's got to be everyone.
Well, and you know what I've called people to do repeatedly, Muhammad, is to inform a local constabulary or police departments or sheriffs or wherever, whatever law enforcement organizations are in your area, and let them know that at least on the maybe on the base level that this conspiracy is actually real, and that here's how it was played out. Give them the 5-cent tour of the French Connection's explanations, but start to educate the police, because these crooks are relying on the fact that the police are going to remain in the dark, and they're going to remain willing to act against their public. And the fact of the matter is, what we need to do is to get these same people to act against the criminals. And the only way to do that is to successfully inform the people that are holding the weapons. I mean, we've got our own weapons in the United States and parts of Europe and stuff, but the fact is, we rely on our enforcement to enforce the law. And there has been treason, and there has been mass theft, and we're talking genocide and fraudulent terrorism, and invented, fabricated. And it's been done in the name of Zionist criminality and to the benefit of Zionist criminals and bankers and Israel. And it's time for us all to say that's enough now, and we need our police departments to come and help us and our military. I've been hoping that we'd see a military coup in the United States and take these people out. I mean, literally, go right to their homes and frog march these people to a hanging tree.
Well, I saw that woman last week on YouTube attempting the citizen's arrest on Karl Rove, and more power to her elbow. And I hope that more and more people in the United States start behaving this way, because although Karl Rove tried to maintain some form of outward composure as the security frog marched this woman off the stage, the fact of the matter is that the anger of the public is there, and it's being brought to them, and it can manifest anywhere. And the fact of the matter is that the security guards now should themselves, who marched her off, face some kind of arrest themselves. We also, Dal, we've appealed to the members of the intelligence and security services.
Yeah.
But they've listened to us long enough to realize we are concerned about the well-being of the nations and the people in those nations. And we've not warned for any sense of ego. We've not even done it for a salary. We've done it because we believe in some form of social justice, fairness, and some kind of respect with inside humanity and community out there. These guys must now take the initiative. If they've got a boss who needs grassing up, if they've got information that they can leak to papers, they've got to act now. We've got to bring this thing to a rapid close. We've got to take the fight to their faces. We need them to join in as much as anybody. We care for their families as much as our own families.
Yep.
They're just human beings doing jobs at the end of the day. They might have a laugh, they might have fun, but hey, they've got to act seriously now and really think about who they're behaving for.
Well, we've come to the end of this file, Mohammed. You know, we went through little vignettes, if you will, of the debacle. We brought it back from the beginning to the present. We've given people a taste of the dire circumstances we are all in right now. And the fact is that there are solutions. That one of the most important solution that there is reconnecting with the people you love. Begin to rely on each other, because things are going to go decidedly south from here. Difficult times are on the horizon. But we need to also start looking at solutions, Mohammed, and you're exactly right. And it has to be done in the name of goodness. I mean, people keep telling me people are basically bad, and I don't believe that. I think people have been led astray. I think they've been poisoned by their food supply and their environments and their television sets, of course, and those people need to be the first arrested. But we can reverse this. I've been able to. I was in the fog. I lived in the fog 5 years ago. If you'd asked me this stuff, I'd have laughed like your friend did and said, "What are you talking about? You're out of your mind." Well, you know, 5 years on, I have morphed into somebody who is just, I can't believe what I'm seeing, and I am angry about it, and I want everyone else to get angry about it. So you've done good today, my friend. This is a great file, because it has all the right parts to it to give somebody a pep talk and a recruiting sounding. This is a great recruiting audio here, Mohammed, because it gave everybody a little bit of what they needed to understand this. Now, of course, the archives on the French Connection are timeless in many instances. They need to go back if they want the full education. Go back and listen to the files we've done on finance for the last year and a half, and they will be brought up to speed like everyone else who's been a French Connection listener. But the time is now. I mean, the numbers on our site are solid. The people that are interested in these facts is here, Mohammed, and we've done a great job of holding on to a core group of informed people. But we need to take it to the next level, and we can't do it without the listener. And maybe you have a last statement for those listeners to maybe get out there and try a little harder.
Well, the one thing that we never abandon, Daryl, is hope. And people are listening to the French Connection, even though it's difficult for Daryl and myself sometimes to come on air, we're not going to abandon our listeners, and we ask all the listeners out there not to abandon us. We're there for each other.
Yeah, that's true. I appreciate it, Mohammed. I know it's getting late over there in your neck of the woods. It's late where I'm at. It's 11:30 in the evening here. I want to let everyone know that I will be doing another show, I think, on CII on Friday, all things equal, being equal. But until then, this is Daryl Bradford-Smith telling each and every one of you, please, be well. Bye-bye.